What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A rub-a-dub-dub, eat some food from a tub, a yum-yum.
Okay. Yeah. All right. A yum-yum.
Okay.
Welcome into the Spitballers, episode 211. Would you rather, is this real life? And we are drafting, well, it's another food draft.
Delicious.
And I'm looking forward to it. The best buffet foods on today's show. My yum yum.
I like that that made you think of eating food out of a tub.
Yeah, I feel like
America.
A buffet is an indulgence.
Yeah.
It's
nothing is so indulgent as eating food out of a tub.
Well,
no, it's quantity. A tub signifies I'm eating as much as I possibly want. I could fill a tub if I wanted to. That's my right at a buffet.
That's true.
No, I could bring a tub.
They cannot stop you.
You can't stop me.
They're a lot of bit gross, really.
Buffets?
Yeah.
No.
The idea of a buffet is a lot of bit gross.
No, where everyone's just walking in a line and grabbing food that's
hands just going into the stuff that quickly, three fellas later will eat.
Yeah, that's quickly made and served as fast as possible to keep filling these troughs of food.
Yeah, not a tub, a trough.
Yeah.
What's like, amazing is that if you are making food for people at your house, you're checking like expiration dates, right? And you're, mm-hmm. there's just this oversight that takes place when you're doing food yourself. And we just trust this to people that aren't us when you go to a buffet, right? You just trust that they're serving you stuff that is not going to make you sick, but there's no guarantees. Like, what's more, if we know anything about America, it's like making a profit seems to be really important.
So, oh, yeah.
So serving like 2-day-old potato salad.
I mean, if they can warm it up and it's still edible, they're going to go with it. And
I can tell you right now, I worked at a movie theater in my teenage years. And the amount of times.
Secrets.
Yeah, I got some secrets. And it comes down to the hot dogs, all right?
Oh, no.
The movie theater.
I love a movie theater hot dog.
Because they're so good.
They sit in these little steamer trays.
Uh-huh.
And they just sit there all day long. And guess what? You don't eat them that day?
No.
They had them the next day.
No.
Right back into the steamer.
How long do they go?
I think you just leave them in there.
No.
Yeah.
Like there was no, look, no I know QA on this?
There was eaten. No. Some of these were in there for a long time. Some of them were turning green.
That's
and just wrap them up in tinfoil and send, because you don't even open it till you're in the theater. There's no accountability.
Green does not mean go when it comes
you
to hot dogs.
You can't tell when it's dark in a movie theater. You're just chomping on down and vomit it up later.
That seems bad. And that, like, when you guys go to go back to the buffet, do you really feel like you get your money's worth? Because I feel like nowadays I can go to the, you're at a hotel somewhere, they have breakfast, or they have the breakfast buffet.
Right.
But the breakfast buffet is definitely 2x what mm-hmm. it would cost for a regular breakfast. And when I go to the buffet, your eyes get humongous. You're like, wait.
Can't wait to buffet.
There's no rules about how much food I can eat. You fill up one plate and you go, okay, well, I'm done.
There's still rules about how much you are able to eat.
Yes, the rules of physics.
Right. I think that the difference here is that some buffets
are... it's worse food. It's old. It's cold.
Some buffets are very, very expensive. Very expensive. You know, this is a fancy buffet. It's $50. You know, goodness gracious.
That's outrageous.
Go to a Disneyland resort. Don't do the breakfast buffet. Cause,
they got buffets?
Oh, my gosh. If you go to like... Oh, my word. I've spent...
That's got to be like $85.
It's outrageous. But you can find restaurants, and I'm not sure which is worse, $10 buffet, all you can eat. What's worse, the $30 buffet or the $10 buffet?
No, I'd rather know, despite the pain, I'd rather know that this restaurant is making money hand over fist, and I might be getting actual high-quality produce.
Because the problem is...
But it's a mite.
Both,
I'll take the mite versus the certainty that I'm not.
Both restaurants are making a profit here. So if they're all you can eat for $10.
It is. We went on vacation recently, and the only restaurants on the hotel, like on the grounds, the breakfast option was only breakfast buffet. And every day you went and you got what was a normal breakfast that would be like $11.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to pay $30
some
a head.
Some eggs, some bacon, a sausage,
yes,
some toast.
Maybe I got one extra small mini muffin. That's my buffet indulgence.
Where it gets criminal is kids' buffet. Because yes. They're like, okay, well, you know, well, the adult price, we'll chop off 10% for the kids. The kids do not get their money's worth for sure. They're like,
their tummies are more than 10% smaller.
And they don't want any of that food. They're like, you go through it and they're like, okay, I'll take the Cheerios. That's a $35 bowl of Cheerios.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are drafting the best buffet foods, if there are some, on today's show.
Yeah, of course there are. There's a reason buffets are still around everywhere.
After all that.
Yeah, because they make 125% on everything.
We should open a buffet.
Yeah, okay.
I would visit it.
You'd get high on your own supply. Yeah. All right.
I'm not just a club. I'm not just the owner. I'm also a client.
It's a personal buffet. Yeah. It's mine. All right. We are hopping in.
Would you rather?
This first question comes in from Darth Jar Jar on the website. It says, would you rather make air quotes every time you refer to somebody's job?
Oh, man.
Or give a self-deprecating chuckle to end every sentence?
Wait, how can a chuckle?
So you're a podcaster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which everyone, when you tell people that you do a podcast, they're all...
They already put it in air quotes for you.
Mentally, the air quotes are happening, and I get it. I understand.
Yeah, but talk to a stay-at-home mom. Oh, brother.
So I hear you're a stay-at-home mom.
That is so insulting. I mean, how do you come back from that?
I was going to go like doctor.
Oh, yeah, a judge. Like a judge in a courtroom? You're a judge.
But attacking a stay-at-home parent.
Yeah.
Like they're not working their butt off.
That's your job?
My goodness.
I mean, our jobs are way easier than people actually raising children.
Oh,
nurses?
Man.
Now,
yeah.
So you're a nurse?
Okay. Oh, man.
I'm uncomfortable. But I have a problem with the second part of this would you rather, because the second part says give a self-deprecating chuckle to the end of every sentence.
What does that sound like, Jay?
I don't know, something like that. But self-deprecating is in the content, not in the chuckle. Like if I said, you're looking really good today, Mike.
I mean, that's not self-deprecating.
That's not self-deprecating.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
it has to be.
What if you said like, or whatever? Yeah,
it has to be nervous. You're like, we should go to the store today.
Like high pitch.
I mean, that would be pretty bad. You would come across as the least.
Oh, you'd be obnoxious.
Confident.
Every sentence.
I don't know. I think.
Do you mind if I sit here?
I think you would never have friends that would ever want to talk to you.
I mean, is that's worse than the other one?
Yeah.
You're talking about somebody's job to them?
Not very often, but usually,
never after this.
Usually, when you meet someone. You know what I mean?
What do you do for a living?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a normal grown-up icebreaker when you meet another fellow adult, and you're like, what do you do?
Oh, you're in the army?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that'd be a problem. I think the other one...
It's too much, though. Every sentence.
I know.
I don't think you could do that. I mean, after every single sentence...
I guess I'm going to go with the air quotes. And
it has to be done.
Just insult some people's occupations.
Just avoid them.
I hope you have some really bad occupations, friends.
I mean, it doesn't matter. That's the nice thing about this. If you are a plumber or a lawyer or a state, it is insulting to everyone.
Is
universally
awful. Are there any
awful.
That aren't? What's a known super easy job?
Clown.
A clown?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could get away with it on
a clown.
Oh, you're a clown?
What about a waiter? Oh, you're a waiter?
Yeah, because then, I mean...
Because you're making fun of the name of it?
No. Then you're spinning it like they're just currently a waiter as they're waiting for their big break into whatever area they're going into.
Has there ever been a waiter who is not waiting for that big acting gig? Is there yes. ever been I a mean, waiter who's not an actor? That's my yeah. question.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Not in Los Angeles, but across this nation, of course. There's lovely people who wait.
But so they want to be an actor.
This could well, be a problem.
We all do.
Yeah,
what happens true. If you meet a dancer?
Oh, that's a...
Oh, you're a dancer?
No. Oh, no.
That's a problem. All right, Jared from Patreon. Would you rather spend 12 minutes in a walk-in freezer with a piping hot bowl of soup or 30 minutes in a hot sauna with a bowl of ice cream?
Soup.
Well, soup.
In both scenarios, the food is unaffected by the temperature.
Somewhere. I think it's meant to be a comfort to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
that's the goal. It's not supposed to be like something you hold on to. It's more like, you know, what's going to help you get through which one?
Well, and the time is different here. 12 minutes in the walk-in freezer.
Now, why
30
is
minutes.
That?
The reason is because I think there's a limit to how long you can really be in a freezer.
Really?
Like people
that's longer than getting cooked? Like a.
Well, but
I mean, you become the soup in the second one.
Yeah.
One of these is made for people. It exists.
Oh, a sauna.
Only for people to go in.
I was picturing a hot tub.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, a sauna, I get it now.
You know,
that's a steam room.
How long do people go in there?
30 minutes is normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not me. One, I don't go to places that have saunas. Those are usually gyms.
How sweaty would you be, Jason, in a sauna? Would you?
I think I would come out 150 pounds less. I'm just because I sweat so much.
You are the sweaty.
I would sweat in the freezer, man.
With the hot soup?
The soup
is too hot.
Yeah, the soup is too hot. I'm still sweating everywhere. I'd come out and I'd just have a sheer of ice all over me.
I think I was going to say nobody does one of these for a benefit, but that's not even true. People go into ice baths.
Yes.
People do those stand up, you know, where your head's poking out and the rest of your body gets frozen for a little while. So people do both of these for therapeutic purposes. People put saunas into their home on purpose to be in a sauna.
And I mean,
rarely both, with ice cream.
Both uncomfortable, but the walk-in freezer, I mean, will become painful. At a point to be that cold when you're that hot, like
I agree,
it doesn't hurt. You're just like, oh, it's
endurance.
It's so hot,
and you've got ice cream.
That's but yeah, you're gonna but a help. Bowl.
Would you smear it on yourself versus eating it?
Well, I think you're sidestepping the rules because if it stays cold, it's. I mean, this is magical ice cream. You can't use that to cool down your body.
I imagine it's suffering underneath the. Bowl, food is unaffected by the ambient temperature. Yeah.
So you're skirting the rules here, but a bowl of ice cream, Andy. You have how long is that lasting?
That's the problem here.
You got 30 minutes in this sauna.
I can't nibble on some ice cream.
It tastes too good because
what I'm saying.
You get another bite and you're like, I want to wait. But
you better
then,
give me some chocolate just so it lasts a little longer.
Where are you at with cold headaches?
I get them.
Okay, you still do?
I get them, but not with I don't get them with ice cream.
How is this possible?
I've never gotten a cold. I mean, I've gotten
what?
A...
No, he's not... Some people have...
I've had a brain freeze like once or twice in
my
life.
Oh, goodness.
But it's not very common.
You can
for
get me.
Me
with 100% of the time with a Wendy's Frosty. 100%.
Really?
100%.
That's why I bring this up.
Because they put frozen water in them.
Because I...
That's called ice?
But that's different than ice cream. Ice cream is frozen milk.
I just had a Frosty like a week ago. And I got not one, but I think like three.
A countless amount, yeah.
And I'm like really, really painful. It didn't stop me from eating the Frosty.
A really cold slushy will do it too.
But
like a smoothie.
I feel like the older I've gotten, the far more intense that these cold headaches or brain freezes are.
And everybody tries to tell you how to stop them, and yeah. I don't know how to stop them. Put your thumb on the top of the roof of your mouth.
You're supposed to warm up the roof of your mouth with your thumb or your tongue. That's how you're supposed to get it done. What are you cackling about
here? Look, my answer is clearly going to be the freezer. Y'all both know I'm going to the freezer. I like being cold.
I want the ice cream.
That.
I'm in the sauna.
Jason would take the soup and just
pour
it out.
Like if I've got to be in the freezer.
Set the bowl on the side and just sit in the freezer dancing.
If the question was switching, you've got to have ice cream in the freezer or hot soup, I'd be like, okay, I'll take the ice cream in the freezer. That's fine. But all jokes aside, because we're not trying to be silly on this show.
No.
I wanted to know, like, okay, When does it become dangerous? Obviously, it's only 12 minutes in the freezer, 30 minutes in the sauna. You can't just live in a freezer as a human being. Eventually, you will.
You'll get real sleepy. You won't.
How long can you go in a walk-in freezer?
Well, so I didn't find the exact answer, but in looking for, I'm on this like scientific journal here.
Oh yeah,
and I found a funny paragraph in here. It says when shivering stops, it's time to worry. This is their words.
So when you stop shivering.
Yeah,
so
I've heard that before.
When shivering stops, it's time to worry. Even if you are fat, you will begin to lose heat quickly.
It says that.
That's its words.
Even don't rely you on your fat. Blubber.
Hold on. I mean, but this is a scientific journal. It doesn't have a...
Is this a .gov?
A more... sciency way of should you happen to be
that's
overweight?
What I was chuckling at,
like, no, if you fat
falling into a state of hypothermia once your core body temperature drops below 35 degrees Celsius, but if you're fat, like,
don't rely on it.
You don't have better words for me than this. Now, even if you're a fatso, you can freeze to death.
Oh man. So we don't know how long you could survive in there.
I don't know.
I think over an hour, right?
What I do know is that
for sure.
Based on them calling that out, I know I can last longer than you do.
Okay? Uh-huh.
Because clearly there's something good to being fat in the freezing. Just ask whales.
Okay. We will move on. Michael from the website. Would you rather have to drive using only your left foot or control all electronics with only your non-dominant hand?
Mm.
Driving with your left foot, if you were forced to do it today.
You'd figure it out.
It would be terrifying.
In the beginning, it would be a nightmare. I think both of these,
it
though, you
even
would figure
work.
Out. Both of these
eventually. Getting over to the right side of the pedal?
Yeah, do we have to left foot in our left-sided steering
you
mobiles?
Betcha.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in an American car.
Okay.
And we still have our right foot attached to our right leg.
Do you know anybody that two-foot drives?
Gosh, please don't.
My mom two-foot drives.
No.
That's how she learned.
Yeah,
but she can unlearn. She can grow.
Yeah, but you don't. No, you can't. Not after a certain age. That'd be more dangerous.
Wow. So she really does. She breaks
right,
with the left.
Breaks with the left. Right foot drive.
How many accidents has your mom?
None.
Had?
Impressive. Never.
She's driven 12 miles in her wonderful long life.
It's actually, I couldn't even believe it. It was like, it wasn't something that we got to choose. Like, you want your dad's way or your mom's way when it was time to drive. Like,
no, because there's only one right
way. We drive normally, but apparently that's how she learned.
Now, do they change the brake pads like every 20 miles?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think the reason they have you 1 foot drive is because.
Oh, it's much safer.
It's because of your reaction time.
Yes.
Is faster. I guess if your muscle memory has your left foot set to brake, you're good.
I literally just had this conversation with one of my kids. Like, 2 days ago.
They thought that's how you drove?
Well, they were asking, well, why do you use the 1 foot? And I was saying, because it's safer. In case of an emergency, if you have to use two limbs and you're in that fight or flight, like, you're far more likely to make a mistake.
You could accidentally hit the accelerator.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need to not be in the danger zone of being able to brake when you mean to accelerate or accelerate when you need to brake. Or doing both at the same time on accident. I think that's like probably the more common problem with 2 foot driving. It's not the emergency problem, but just if you're resting your foot a little bit on the brake while you're driving, not good.
Where were we going with this discussion? This was about the left foot. Yeah, you got to do a crossover left foot. Very inconvenient.
That's much worse than a 2 foot.
Yes, that's way worse.
You got to get...
Your right foot has to almost be, I'd almost be tempted to throw it over into the passenger seat at this point.
You got to hope that it's not a manual stick shift. Otherwise, your leg's going to get in the way of that.
Yeah, I'm leaning over. The right leg is getting the.
Maybe I'll sit on my right leg.
You could sit
on
it.
You know what I mean? Okay. Go a little on my
knees.
Oh,
but now your left leg's not going to be long enough.
Get higher up.
It's not going to be long enough to.
I'll push the seat forward.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna have
get in an accident because you're gonna be in an origami situation.
Also, every time you get out of your car, you're going to collapse.
Yeah, my right leg's not gonna work.
Fully asleep. The other one
you drove to California that way.
Non-dominant control of all electronics. Do you guys have a favorite ear for the phone call?
I don't use my ear most of the time with a phone call.
What?
Well, I mean, I like okay. So around,
what do you do?
You, like you use your tongue?
Like, no,
how do you listen?
You're tasting saying, the vibrations.
I guess what I'm saying is the majority of the time that I am speaking on the phone, I'm either talking through my car or on speakerphone or have AirPods. Or,
you do the switch. So if you're in your house and you get a call, what do? You switch it to speaker away?
Yeah, I'm probably just on speaker.
Just for the walk around?
Yeah. You just want everyone knowing your business.
Well, not necessarily.
I do like the speakerphone too.
But anyways,
when you're alone.
But when I answer with my phone,
I'm always on the left.
You're a left.
I'm a left-handed person.
Is that what it is, Mike? Where do you go? I'm 100% right side. I've tried to do some left switching, and it's weird.
It is weird. I will say that.
You know, you get fatigued, right? You've been talking for a while.
I don't know.
You try to switch? Well, hold on. Let's find out. I'm going to give you a phone call.
I don't have a phone on me.
Well, that's going to make it harder.
Very difficult.
Ring, ring, ring. Pick up your pretend phone.
Hello? I mean, it's probably my right. Okay.
I think it's just dominant hand.
But when you're using your phone, do you ever go left-handed? Or for the weird guy, go right-handed?
Okay, so oftentimes, when I tuck in my youngest kid, we've got like a bedtime routine, and if he's scared, I'll sit with him for a while. And he likes getting rubbed, and so I'll play on my phone in one hand,
yes,
and like rub his back to sleep with the other. Okay. But every now and then, I'm sitting on the wrong side of the bed, where basically I've got to switch my phone to the off hand. And it's been publicized before. I play Sudoku on my phone a lot. That's kind of my go-to game. And you got to reach
these numbers. Publicized. Forbes wrote about that.
Exactly.
Sudoku master.
40 at 40 Forbes. But it's impossible.
40 doing 40.
Right. Yeah. It's impossible. Like, I can't do it. I have to stand up, walk around the bed, and go to the other.
Let me ask you a question. When you do the back rub phone with your child, what's the hand you prefer? Your left?
I am on the phone. I'm left-handed. I use my dominant hand on the phone.
So non-dominant back rub. So he's getting a less than back rub.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can back rub with a much better dominant hand.
I'm not going to choose him over me. That's not happening.
Okay. No. See, I do the left-handed.
I do the
left-handed phone more often anyways.
Really? You're non-dominant.
And I give great back rubs to my kids with the dominant hand. Wow.
I can't believe that you use your non-dominant hand by
default.
I'd
be fine with that, yeah.
Do you switch? Are you confident
in
your right?
I'm more confident on the left.
I'm phone bedextrous.
Really?
Yeah, I could go back and forth.
So I'm going to take that one. I think that's not going to be a problem, and I won't be careening into some other vehicle within like a day.
I'm going to be sitting on my leg learning how to drive with my left.
Okay. Right. Mike, final answer?
I will take the electronics.
All right. Ricky from Twitter, would you rather be able to or not be able to swim or not be able to run?
One of these seems, I was going to say one of these seems far more common and often, but then I remembered I haven't run in years.
You have, because we play some
pickleball.
Sports.
Yeah, but I don't really run in pickleball.
Yes, you do.
I don't think that qualifies as running.
He's getting up ahead of steam. He's never got to the run part.
Right. Like,
he's just starting.
Like, I don't think you can run for two steps. That's not running.
What would that be called?
That's a great question.
If you are in a movement, a three-step movement, but at times during that movement, you have no feet on the ground, what would you call that?
Impressive that you think I can get both feet off the ground.
When you're running, there's time.
I know.
There's a time period that
when
you have no feet on the ground.
When was the last time you ran by your definition of running? Was it when we were working out and having to do sprints or something?
Yeah.
Or the last grocery store you robbed?
Right. Well, you got to get out quick. You don't want to.
You can't walk. I'd be like, hold on, I can't run anymore.
It's been at least a year since I've ran, and I've swam multiple times this summer.
I would think not being able to swim is very dangerous.
I would say so.
There are definitely situations.
But not being able to run could be very dangerous. You cannot escape any sort of danger. Imagine you choose that one, right?
Uh-huh.
You keep the swimming, and then there's an emergency, like a building. Right? There's a bomb threat. Everyone's running out of there, and you're walking. You're just like walking out. I'm coming, everybody.
Can you at least power walk?
Yeah, one foot has to be on the ground at all times, right? Is that the definition of running?
Yes.
Is it better to die in the collapse of the building than it is to be caught power walking out of the building? camera.
My problem when you started,
look at this guy.
And as soon as you start power walking, just out of nowhere, a fanny pack just clips right around your waist,
just appears,
and your shoes turn into white New Balance.
Your shorts become very short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And your socks go.
Oh,
up to
they
your
go
knees.
Way high. My real issue with the running here, and I didn't factor this in. You said, well, what about if there's an emergency going on? And I started to think, you might poop your pants if you can't run. That's the emergency that sometimes.
Oh, because you got
to
get to
you got to get to that toilet. You got you know.
But so you're also, power walking. You're pooping and you're power walking.
You might poop your pants because you've ran, though.
So you're saying that the power walk is better than the run if you got to take a dump.
When I've found that when I'm in when I'm redlining,
I think you're right.
that you gotta you can't have the concussive jarring of running.
I redlined recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
You redlined?
I redlined recently.
How here?
How close?
It was about a month ago.
Okay.
We got real close.
We almost did it again, huh?
We got real close. It's a shame that Owl is not here for this.
Oh, he was involved.
Because he was involved.
Did you simultaneously redline?
No. This is just
and then have a fight.
But I was in.
Oh, this when he was trying to get you home?
Yes,
in a vehicle.
Yes, I was in
vehicle. So he was the driver.
Oh
no!
Right foot or left foot?
I hope he was right foot driving. But it was like, yeah, this is gonna be a problem. And
at what point of the drive and like of the meter, mm-hmm. like 1 to 5, where five is you really got to go? At what point did you actually say something to him?
I had actually told him prior to driving.
How long of a drive was this?
It was a good 15 minute drive.
Okay.
And I had told him prior, like, this could be a problem.
before the drive.
Yeah, but there wasn't an opportunity there. There wasn't a place. And then I felt better. You know how it comes in waves.
Yeah, sure.
So I felt better. And this was
it's like a tide.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tide. The tide had rolled out.
They call them birth pains.
Yeah. This was caused by medication. I was on a medication that like this was like a possible side effect. Yes, Ducalax. and it was coming, and I was like, oh man,
I take a 10 of these.
You know when you get the sweats?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you
sweaty
go,
palms.
Yeah, and so it's like
I have to know more about this.
So well, I'm telling the story. And so I'm telling him, like, yeah, we gotta let's hustle up. And he doesn't want me to redline in his car any more than I do.
He's got the white interior, right?
it's a white car.
Yeah, just checking.
And so we are we're driving, and I'm telling you, everyone can experience it. Everyone's known this. If you gotta go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and you've been holding it or whatever, as soon as your body knows you're close, as soon as you are at the house, as soon as you see the restroom door,
gets permission.
It's like, okay, come on up, it's time.
The valve loosens.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I could see like the navigation map on his car screen, and my body knew. It's like, oh,
no.
you are 90 seconds away from his house, and I am I'm sweating. I'm like, you gotta go. you gotta go. And then when we get to his house, there was like a car and other stuff in front of his house where there was like no place to park.
Oh, no.
Did you get a drop-off? An Uber style?
Yeah, I basically got a drop-off. But I say all of this to say, and he pre-opened his garage door like from his phone on the drive so I could run in straight in through the garage. That's where the guest bathroom is. And I say all this
and
to
I
say.
And I wrecked it.
I did. But I say all this to say, I did not run. I needed to get in there. But right,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Because if I had ran,
yep.
I had pooped.
There, you'd seepage.
Yeah. It's just too. You got to keep the legs close enough together.
Because
you don't want
to
spread those legs.
You need to maintain the clinch.
Absolutely.
And
so,
are we thankful you didn't have any speed bumps on that road on the way in?
A speed bump would have been a real problem. It would have been a brown line instead
man.
Of the red line. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
what a good friend.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna, I don't need the running is what I just learned. I'm gonna swim. And now I can't even, now I've got an excuse like.
Well, you won't be pooping in the pool if you,
never.
If you always drown in the pool.
Well, but you
right.
Could, yeah. You mean
well,
you
if you
without...
drown in the pool, you might
okay.
poop
yeah,
right
afterwards. Oh no.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep the running.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to throw away the swimming. You can still wade, right?
Of course.
You can still wade.
If your feet can touch the ground, you don't all of a sudden freak out.
Okay. I don't know, man. I feel like if I couldn't swim, I'd be afraid to, like, wade to the waist.
No, waist you'd
be fine
with.
I think there are some people like that. I got a friend who can't swim, and they don't want to even wade in the ocean.
Well, I get the ocean because
they won't even walk on the shores. With
if
their
you
feet
lose
season.
Your if you lose your balance, the ocean a wave can take you back in.
Okay. But or if like I come up and shove you in,
that'll get you
learn
too.
To swim.
Gotcha.
What
all
a
right,
funny goof.
Let's move on.
Is this real life?
All right. Is this real life? We have each found real life stories, articles, newsworthy things that have happened that when we saw them, we said to ourselves, this cannot be true. And yet it is. And we share them with one another right now. Jason, why don't you kick us off if you don't mind?
I don't mind. According to
man
the AP.
Poops pants in car.
Man, ironically, starts. Man trapped aloft in hydrogen balloon for 2 days.
Oh, no.
2 days?
Oh, 2 days. No. Floating around the sky.
No.
He traveled 200 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
He traveled.
Is he alive?
He is alive.
All right. Step one.
Yeah. I think I probably don't choose this story if it's like yeah. A man dies in tragic accident.
That's a different show. That is not this pod.
But no, so this was a hydrogen balloon that apparently is the newer way to harvest acorn nuts. So instead of going up in these really tall trees that are like 200 feet tall and climbing up and it's much less safe, you get this hydrogen balloon that is kind of tied to the ground. And it's basically a hot air balloon. Like I looked these up after reading this, it's smaller. The basket is just, you know, it fits. You can
it's
fit
for one.
Two people, but like not comfortably. This isn't, you know, like a hot air balloon where you're going up and it's this beautiful, but it's the same kind of design. And apparently it became detached from the ground.
Oh my goodness.
And there aren't the controls like in a hot air balloon quite the same. And there were
which are already none.
There were two people in the basket, and when it became detached, one jumped out.
See ya, sucker!
Well, here's the truth. Two should have jumped out.
Can you... Wait.
So one jumped out, and the other said, I am floating off forever.
I cannot
imagine how terrifying that would be to just be like, what do I do? Because you're thinking about jumping, right?
And yeah, there's sure, a certain point where you're saying you can't jump anymore.
I mean, you're maybe even in the beginning you're thinking, oh, I can't jump. Now I really can't jump. Now I'm dead because you floated off. And I don't know how high, like in my mind.
It goes forever.
I think.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened.
Space.
I think I go so high that I either lose oxygen and will die that way, or I will go so high that this balloon is not made for it and it's going to pop.
Or you freeze.
That wouldn't happen in my mind. You're right scientifically, okay. But I didn't get there.
Right.
You figured pop balloon, down you go.
Pop balloon, down I go. Off I go into the atmosphere, burn up, die.
Yeah, so that didn't
happen?
No
oxygen, whatever. So it didn't happen. Apparently he just floated for 2 days and 200 miles, and eventually, like the next day, they were able to get a hold of him on his cell phone.
Oh no!
He floated somewhere where he was in close enough range, and they basically told him he needs to like start leaking out the hydrogen somehow, and he did. And
that was my first thought, is if I'm on the way up and I have a fear of going into outer space and or freezing and or not breathing, it's 2 days you're up there. You hadn't come up with a plan to just leak some hydrogen out of that thing?
At what point?
I don't
know. That's exactly how you get down in a hot air balloon. You stop putting hot air into it.
You're up there for 2 days. That's 48 hours.
That's so long. No
after,
food,
what
no
are you
water.
Doing? Yeah, what are you doing?
After the first
Sudoku, he had his phone.
After the first 24 hours, you got to start thinking of a plan.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to do something, but he
maybe
made it.
The plan was waited out.
And he, good plan, man.
Wow. Well, my is this real life is brief. It is simply a really hilarious mental picture to me. So I'll share it, and then we'll go on to Mike's. Here's the headline. Man arrested after 4-mile-an-hour police chase of narrowboat on the Grand Union Canal for 8 miles.
Oh, yeah.
At 4 miles an hour?
At 4 miles an hour.
Do that math.
That's two hours.
Yeah.
So he traveled.
Great math.
And are you, do you know what a narrowboat is for these canals?
I am Googling now.
These are like really, really long, thin boats.
Oh, yeah.
That people.
They narrow?
They're very narrow.
They are.
And.
Okay. Like a river boat.
Peaky Blinders has some narrow
boats.
Peaky
Blinders.
Yeah. But these boats go 4 miles an hour. And apparently, this gentleman, 37 years old, was arrested eventually on the suspicion of assault and breaching a restraining order. But the best part in my head is that these police investigators were lying in wait to catch him and followed him. Bike. They were on bikes. So they followed the 4-mile-an-hour narrowboat on bikes until eventually he gave up, pulled over, and ended the high-speed James Bond-esque chase.
They're going to be way out ahead of him.
I know.
Because I just Googled how fast do people walk, and on average they walk 3 to 4 miles per hour.
And like, on a bike to go that slow, you're in the wobble zone where you can fall over.
I mean, you're just walking, talking to this guy like, hey, dude, you got nowhere to go.
For
what is this guy's
miles?
What is his plan?
Yeah, he did not have a good plan.
I mean, like,
you're never going to catch me.
Like, when the people who do it in a car, you have these grandiose dreams of, I'm going to make it to Mexico somehow, an unsecured part of the border, and as soon as I get over, they're not allowed to follow me, or something just crazy like that. But you're in a boat.
Do you think he was hoping for a waterfall?
Maybe.
Some kind of like...
follow me down the rapids.
To go over the top.
There's got to be a tunnel somewhere.
I hope he had a 45-point turn to turn back the other way.
So that's what I mean. You're going... You can't turn around. You're going 4 miles an hour, one direction.
Have you ever had a strategy if you ever gotten a high-speed chase? Have you ever thought about how you could evade police nowadays?
I haven't thought through it.
I have thought of the opposite of like what to do if I'm getting chased down by like a bad guy,
Well, you see these police
drive
chases.
To a police station.
Okay, that makes sense. You see the chases on the news, and you know that they've got, you know, you've got
helicopters,
you've got infrared cameras, all of that stuff, like, what's the plan, man?
It has to be some sort of...
I've always thought parking structure. I think you got to find a big parking structure that you can go into so you can go park and then lay down on the ground or sneak out of the car and get lost.
But you're alive in a coffin at that point. Like, there's nowhere for you to go. It's a parking structure, one in,
you
got to
pretend you're one of the, like, other people in the parking structure.
Yeah, you switch cars.
You got to get a different car.
You got to get in a different car and get out of there. I would think you could...
Like, I would be like, get out of my car. I'd run over and I go, he went that way.
Oh, I'm going under the bridge, and then I'm hopping out and keeping that car going. And so,
ooh,
you know, they're going to follow.
Oh, so you like.
The helicopter sees the car go. And
you put a brick on the accelerator?
Terrible crash.
Oh, I was imagining.
That's pretty good.
Just pushing the gas as much as he could, then getting out. Yeah. So the car just kind of
that's basically
goes to
6 feet
in front of him.
Yeah,
I turned the cruise control on.
Okay.
How fast of a car do you think you can jump out of onto concrete and still be functional to run?
That's got
to
be 20 or lower.
Yeah, 20 is 20.
You got to get your feet going real fast.
Well, no, I do the roll. I wouldn't be trying to
What does the science document say about fat people when they do that?
They say they're better at rolling.
Okay. All right.
It's more shapely.
Hey, it's science, Mike. I'm not saying anything the scientists wouldn't say. All right, Mike, what's your Is This Real Life?
All right, so mine is about football.
Okay.
Or as we call it, soccer. Specifically about a defender. His name is Marcelo. He was on the Brazilian defender Marcelo. He was on the Lion first team, and he was he got into some discipline stuff with the team, and he had to be removed. And that discipline comes from here is the headline. Marcelo dropped from Lion first team for, quote, farting and laughing in dressing room.
Yes.
Farting and laughing?
So,
yes.
That's his final straw?
So he apparently got into it with the management where they caught him laughing during the captain was giving a speech to, you know, rally the troops before you go into a contest. And he was... Well, I think he was maybe laughing at the speech, not considering it to be serious. And then he had been disciplined by the club for repeatedly farting among his teammates in the dressing room.
We warned you.
And laughing in the presence of management. So
wow.
He literally farted so much and got warnings and then said, I can't. I'm still going to fart. I find it so funny. Because the best part is, it's not like he's just farting and got fired. He's farting and laughing about it.
He's committed to
the face
the bit.
Of management.
Marcello's Buttcello. Very nice.
That is...
I mean,
they finally let me go. Why, honey? Why don't you have a job anymore?
I farted my way out of here.
Oh, man. Wow, that's special. All right, we are drafting. Let's do it.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are drafting the best foods at a buffet, and I have the first pick. And I don't think it's going to be the right pick, but it's going to be the pick that I can't live without.
Interesting.
Because I think back at the handful of, you know, more than a handful of times I've gone to a buffet. And I think of when have I really wanted to indulge? And when have I been happy that I have an unlimited amount of something? And when do I have a fond memory of that, right? We talk about how much you can eat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I think you might take mine.
I genuinely think this is the best actual thing at a buffet. It's not at every buffet. It should be. But it's an ice cream sundae buffet.
Yeah, sundae bar would have been my first pick.
Because
really?
You yeah. get to go back and back and back. And I'm well known in my region as one of the... I can eat a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
Quantity-wise. It's really all I want to do in life. And so... I've enjoyed that at a buffet before. I feel like I benefit from the fact it's unlimited. And
are you allowed to put your mouth to the nozzle at a buffet?
I don't. I think they frown on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
They probably don't like that. What the best part of the sundae bar to me is the like that I'm in control.
You're in
control. I'm in
the
control
toppings.
Of the toppings. How much chocolate fudge do I actually want on here? Way too much. I can do it. No one's going to stop me because I'm the one who's in control.
I feel like buffets, sundae bars are usually there's hot fudge,
yeah.
which I've never been a huge fan of. And then there's usually a
there's
bowl.
There's caramel. There's always caramel.
Of like peanuts or mm-hmm. something.
There's usually like some sprinkles and things.
Sprinkles are there.
Yeah,
and
sprinkles
maybe
are
some,
always there.
Maybe some gummy bears.
Oh, there's caramel. There's always caramel. And two pumps. There's a hot fudge pump and a caramel pump.
I would say the three and the strawberry one.
Yeah. And there's sometimes there's some Oreos, too.
Yeah,
you're underestimating the sundae bar.
I'm going to have to go to a buffet and check it out.
I have to go with the ice cream sundae bar.
It's
because
on brand.
It's on brand. And you guys have four picks before I pick again. I can't risk losing my favorite thing on earth.
I would have taken it first.
Would you really?
Yeah. Well,
nice.
More...
I like you, Mike.
I love the sundae bar, and I would be playing the game of knowing I had to get it before you got it. All right, so then that takes my first pick. I will go... I'm going to... Because it's... Part of this is not just the food. It's the pageantry of it that I get to tell a feller this is exactly how I want to do it. So, like, In my opinion, a good buffet has this. It is the omelet bar.
Omelet bar.
Where they give me the piece of paper. I get to check all the fillings and things that I want.
What would you fill? What is your...
Oh, I'm real boring.
I see cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to go
with
some cheese and some hams. Maybe I'm good with the spinach in the omelet and maybe some more cheese.
I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I've just never really loved an omelet.
Yeah.
I feel like an omelet is somehow not that good.
The only place I get omelets
is a buffet.
It's an omelet
would be,
bar.
They have the fancy omelet bar. I'm like, ooh, I'll go there.
I so prefer a scramble to an omelet.
I prefer a scramble. Or yeah, absolutely.
All right.
But they don't have, like, I mean, you can take, it's still up for grabs if you want to get it, but it's not fresh.
Is a scramble and a skillet pretty different?
No, those are the same. A scramble and a skillet are identical. One just comes in a skillet.
A skillet is like a deconstructed omelet.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it apart.
Yeah.
They start with an omelet.
Well, this
is a really long process.
This is great because my two picks I wanted. Both came to me easy peasy. I thought where you were going, because you kind of talked about childhood and quantity.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
And so at a buffet, quantity is key. And when you're a kid and oftentimes it's a breakfast buffet. I find that a lot of my picks here are breakfast buffets.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
But when you can grab as much bacon as you want.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you can usually if I'm at a I just take the tongs, I slide them in there and I squeeze and I put whatever comes onto my plate, and it's usually about 16 pieces of bacon. I mean, granted it's not always the best bacon. It's usually paper thin.
Real wilty.
But that's
so you're going bacon.
Bacon
that
is my
sense.
Number one.
I've got bacon in my omelet.
Ooh.
You've got bacon bits in your omelet.
Probably.
All right. The other thing is, not every buffet has this. And while this isn't always about quantity, it is something that I'm always disappointed when a buffet does not have this. And I'm excited when it does. So I'm going to take the thing that excites me. It's the meat carving station.
Yeah, it's on my list.
I mean,
I've never experienced a buffet meat carving station. You
what?
That's a good time?
It's
wait, they carve it for you.
Oh, yeah.
I have done that. I thought it was for you to carve.
No.
They don't let the buffet goers have knives.
Yeah, it's always a guy, and he's got the big chef hat on, looks real fancy, and it's what I've experienced. It's almost always roast beef.
It's like a prime rib or a ham, and the ham is where it's
okay,
at.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. It's on my list.
This is good, Mike. You got one more pick, hopefully a bad one, before I get my number two and number three.
I had to play the game with this pick, because this is with my first pick after the Sunday. I didn't know Jason's omelet stance, so I couldn't take a chance that he would not send it back. I didn't figure that this one would be on Jason's list. I'm just being mean. I'm going with the salad bar, baby.
You're right.
I'm right. You didn't want the salad bar.
Yeah, it's so boring.
It's not. But here's the salad bar at the buffet is my favorite. Like, I load up with the biggest salad you've ever seen, and because they got everything. They got the hard boiled eggs. They got the meats, the cheeses, and a good salad bar has whatever dressing you want. And they're good. These are the fattiest, highest calorie version that you can get of the salad dressing. And then I just smother it in Thousand Island. Like, you can't see my salad. You just see a plate.
It's the least healthy thing you've ever made.
Yes. You see a plate of Thousand Island, but underneath that, there are some vegetables. And I freaking love a really robust salad bar. It's
fantastic. The customization you like from the ice cream.
Yes.
You get to do it the way you want to do it.
One of the best parts of the salad bar, if it's a good salad bar, is that they have full pepperoni slices oftentimes.
Yes, they do.
And I've never had more. I don't have pizza with as much pepperoni
as
a
salad
yes. at a salad bar.
Pepperoni seems to only exist in salad bars for salads.
Right.
It's just like you always see them in salad bars, but rarely do you get a pepperoni salad. Like, that's not a menu item. Right?
No, I get what you're saying.
Item. It's like a pepperoni salad.
I've never seen a salad that I could think of that comes with pepperoni on it.
And
but
yet,
every salad bar has pepperoni added.
Yeah, what's
and
that all
it's
about?
Great.
It's fantastic.
So salad bar would have been one of my next two picks for sure.
Nice.
Because of the customization factor, right? You get to make it the way you want, as much dressing as you want. Bacon was definitely on the list. So you guys took a couple favorites there. Number one is going to be a pizza buffet. I thought, Jason, you were going to go there instead of the bacon, but a pizza buffet, I can just eat as much as I want. They got variety. I can intermingle. I mean, between, hey, I want a meat pizza. They got dessert pizza out there now.
Totally agree, except the hard part with a pizza buffet is you either have to be a hawk.
When they put the new pizzas out?
You just circle around until they actually put a fresh one out, or you're eating the most lukewarm, loose, floppy pizza that's been sitting there forever.
As you say, you're eating the least favorite if you're
that
not
too.
Hawking. Yeah, but a good pizza buffet, they've got there's a lot of them cooks with the big hats, and they're putting them out there.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, like, you know, you might be listening and think pizza at the buffet is not the best pizza, and it's not.
Right.
But the floor of pizza is higher than almost every other type of food. There is no such thing as bad pizza. I go to a buffet and grab a slice of pizza and I eat it and I don't think this is bad for pizza. I go, pizza.
Yeah. That's what I say too. This next pick, it's very difficult because I'm just worried about what's going to come back to me. You two are, you know, hungry gentlemen, and I'm just worried about what can I sneak beyond your next four picks.
Okay.
And it's tough, but I'm going to go with pancakes.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the breakfast pancakes. You get as many as you want to have. You can go back and I want a little extra pancake at the end of my breakfast. I just think the pancakes in the buffet, it's easy for them to, it works, right?
It's so easy. Pancakes are the easiest thing for anyone to ever make.
Yeah, and they can stack. They can sit there under a heat lamp if they need to, and they're still good. I mean, I'm going to go with pancakes.
Yeah, as much dap as I gave you for the pizza, the ceiling of pancakes is very low.
Well, you do need to, yeah, that's fair. You do need to, you know, syrup those bad dogs up. And
of course,
butter.
Butter. Oh, yeah. Butter.
Oh, butter. This guy, I don't know, I'm sure we've done hundreds butter. Of episodes. I'm sure we've talked about it, but it's worth knowing again. No one butters things more than Mr. Andy Holloway. He gets a full lump of butter. Is that what you call it? A scoop of butter? A butter ball?
Yeah, whatever it is.
You know, we go out to Cracker Barrel, get Mama's French toast.
Oh, I missed those. We got
to
do that again.
Yeah. Oh, yes, please.
Let's go to town.
And he'll get one of those big balls of butter, and it's more. I love butter. I'm all about that life. But it's usually more than I use, one of those things of butter. Mm-hmm. And Andy goes, can I get like three more of those? It's one per French toast piece.
Two facts about that. One, I found out recently my cholesterol is very high.
Okay.
Wait, really?
Number two, I don't know why. Why have they not come out with the syrup with the butter? 50-50.
They try.
50-50. That's what I want on my pancakes.
I mean, the close, they have that butter.
Mrs. Buttersworth didn't put enough butter.
The butter at Texas Roadhouse.
There's already some. Well, it's the butter has syrup or the syrup has butter?
It doesn't have syrup, but it's like cinnamon butter.
Oh, no, Mike. I'm talking about maple syrup and butter as one.
I feel like the cinnamon butter, though, would be
Yeah, it would be a good time. I'm
we
not complaining.
Test
yeah.
that.
We should give it a go. All right, okay, Mike, back science. To you for science.
All right, I'm going to go with another food that you can eat a whole bunch of it and just trying to think through a buffet. It can sit there for a while. It's under, like you said, it's under the heat lamp. So it's been there for a while, but it's still going to be good. Some good old fashioned. I'm going to be some fried chicken.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hearty. It's crunchy. It's probably filled with
tons of chicken chemicals. More like chicken tenders then, right?
No, actual.
Oh, just fried chicken.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Give me a leg. A fried chicken leg, like KFC style.
I can almost hear it making sounds with its fried breading.
In your stomach.
Yes, that as well.
Yeah. All right.
Talk about redlining.
Yeah. I think I prefer the strips at the buffet to the bone in. I just don't trust them.
I'm in the same boat. That's why I was kind of trying
I don't trust buffet places to do fried chicken and not kill me somehow. But like,
interesting.
Feels more self-contained because they brought in the strips.
Yeah, the strips are
are from the freezer.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of varieties that you can buffet. You could buffet wings. You could buffet nuggets.
Yeah,
you could buffet strips. You could buffet fried chicken.
So you want to go pay $50+ for food, and you're like, hey, get it out of the freezer and prepare that for me?
Do you know how much of that I can eat? Yeah, I do. I do. I want to dip it in that delicious ranch you talked about earlier.
All right, two picks, Jason.
All right, two picks. My first pick is mashed potatoes because when I am at a buffet and I'm loading up all these different things, mashed potatoes...
There's a wide range of outcomes.
It is, but mashed potatoes double as a dip. I can dip everything in mashed potatoes.
You're not wrong.
I it's one of those things where I'll go to a fancy steakhouse and, you know, you don't ask for steak sauce. That's faux pas.
Which is...
I know, it's dumb.
Get out of here with your snootiness. If someone wants to put ketchup with their steak, that's fine.
Well, that's...
Let it happen.
That's not fine, but...
yes, it is. Your steak sauce is just fancy ketchup.
Order Bordelaise sauce and you'll thank me. But if you get mashed potatoes, like I feel like I can dip it, the steak in the mashed potatoes. Oh man, that's one of my all-time favorites.
Only criticism on the mashed potatoes, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm
when
ready
I'm
for it.
When I'm thinking about a buffet, I love to not think another person's been there before me. The mashed potato tray has a bunch of evidence that somebody else has been scooping in this tray, and I know it should be safe. But you grab a piece of chicken, no one knows that someone was there before you. That, and what do you do? Like, are you down for the mashed potato tray that's like three quarters done and you're grabbing the edges?
Well, I think that's...
Or do you wait for the next tray?
I think it's I think it's the same as all of them. Is there one little piece?
They're all gross.
Is there one little piece of fried chicken left in that tin? Well, you got there last.
The runt of the litter.
Grab it. on the mashed potatoes. So I'm fine with all stages of mashed potatoes. And then the last one I'm going with, this might surprise you fellas. And it might be exactly what you think. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. but this is the truest Jason Moore pick because if I go to a buffet, they usually have this. And it's something that I don't get anywhere else in life. I've never seen it on another menu, like ever. But every buffet has it, at least Golden Corral's. And I...
The pinnacle of buffets.
Thank you. And I will eat more than I should, get more than I should, get seconds, and do some damage.
Is it bread pudding?
It's very similar. It is the banana cream pudding with wafers.
Okay.
Like the whole dessert banana cream.
I knew it was something in that vein. Yeah.
Oh!
So the pudding bar.
The pudding bar.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought,
sweet mercy.
I thought banana pudding was my first guess, but I was like, I don't know if they have that as often as bread pudding. Either one will do for Mr. Moore.
Yeah.
Also, for all the comments about me calling it a tub, their restaurant's called the Golden Corral. So let's just call it what it is, all right?
They do it.
Yeah. It might as well be tub of food. All right, Mike, your final pick. Let's see if I played the game right.
I'm sure you did. Because the final pick is simple for me because I can just, you know, it doesn't matter how much of this I take. I can just slap it on the plate. I'm going with macaroni and cheese.
All right. That's a good pick.
Your pick is safe, but mac and cheese.
Also doubles as a dip.
It was up at the tippy top of my list.
It also doubles as a dip, and the range of outcomes for mac and cheese.
That's part of it.
It can be too smushy. Like, there are some mac and cheeses that are way, way better than others.
What makes it a bad mac and cheese?
For me?
Not enough?
No, noodles are way too soft when they're just mushy.
That can happen.
I need some texture.
Structure.
To it.
You need some structure.
Yeah, yeah. Or it can be too bad if it's too thick.
Too thick, yes.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, that's Velveeta.
Well, I'm very happy because my final pick, I want it to be something that's not normal for me to have too much of. Does that make sense?
I hear you loud
and clear.
They're
socially, like if I go to a bakery and I say I want 7 pastries,
right?
They might look at me. If I sit there and eat them in the restaurant, I'm a bad guy.
You're getting shamed.
But if I'm at a buffet, I can get as many cheese danishes and pastries as I want. I'm going with pastries.
Okay.
There's a stack of them. Every time I go back for more of my main foods.
Oh, you always add a pastry.
Add a pastry.
That's exactly right. I do that every time.
You should always have a pastry.
You just throw one on the side. It's like a dinner roll, except dinner rolls aren't as good as pastries. So
do you make a comment every time like you didn't know they were there?
I always say, oh, you have pastries. Yeah. Oh, cheese danishes.
Oh, look at that.
Yes. And that, the whole dynamics, and that'll wrap it up, by the way. I'll read the teams back. The teams.
Our starting
Jason
forward.
Has bacon, meat carving station, mashed potatoes, and banana cream pudding with Nilla wafers. Mike has the omelet bar, the salad bar, the fried chicken, and the mac and cheese. Very nice. And I have ice cream sundae bar, pizza, pancakes, and pastries.
Ooh.
The three P's.
All the P's.
But the whole dynamic of a buffet is always it's a little different. Because you're always doing the new plate thing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they're not quick enough coming and taking the other plates away, you could have a lot of plates on the table.
Some real problems can happen.
It's just a different dynamic. It feels a little...
I do feel like we did a massive disservice, and I totally understand why.
To buffets?
No.
Oh.
They do a disservice to us.
Yeah, the shame meter in a buffet is always at least 20%
high. To Chinese food buffets.
Oh, you are correct.
I mean, Chinese food buffets might be the pinnacle
might be their
of
own draft.
Buffets.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like, I love everything there.
Yeah.
But if you just say, like, orange chicken, it just doesn't feel as good on this draft. Mongolian beef. But if I can get orange chicken and Mongolian beef and some chow mein and some
egg
pot stickers and egg rolls. Yeah. And I mean, Chinese food buffets, I just had to give you a shout out.
Yeah. Those are great places.
The only real things I had left on my list as core potential picks, sliders, if they have them, that's rare. Mm-hmm. Rolls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you got pastries.
The poor man's pastry.
Yeah.
And the waffles was going to be on there.
I was going to go with waffles, but you took pancakes.
Yeah.
And just didn't want to get in that one.
What a good man.
I had crab legs for your fancy buffets.
Oh, yeah.
French toast, the better pancake.
Mm.
Meatballs and fried shrimp.
Okay. Fried shrimp.
Well, yeah, because it's a buffet. You got to fry it to know it's safe.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Any final contenders, Mike?
The cinnamon apples.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
There's not very many places
the
where
dessert,
you,
the, yeah. The pan dessert.
Yeah, there's not a lot of them out there.
Okay.
But always the buffet.
What did we learn today?
I learned that people being fat is just science.
That was my takeaway, is that the scientific journal was fat-shaming people.
Yeah.
I genuinely learned that you can accidentally go up into the atmosphere in a hydrogen balloon and not die within 2 days.
What? He was doing something with a tree?
Yeah, he was working. He was getting acorn nuts.
How so
he
tall
was
using is an acorn tree?
He was using it to
very
get
tall.
Up to the tree.
Yeah.
And is it an acorn tree or do they grow on a different tree? I don't know this.
Is it a pine tree, I think? Acorns grow on pine trees?
I thought those were pine cones.
Who knows, Mike?
A mystery for next time.
I'm not a scientist.
Thank you for following the show, subscribing. We appreciate you.
Not a treologist.
JoinTheSpit.com is our community. Check it out.
See you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out SpitballersPod.com.
Oak tree!
Thank you.